You are listening to the Rema Chapel Podcast, which brings the message of Jesus Christ to the lost all across the globe. Today's speaker is our own pastor, Reverend Samuel Donkwode, pastor of Rema Chapel Bielefeld, Germany. Hope you enjoy this message.
My title is Revive Your Work. Revive Your Work. Habakkuk chapter 3, the verse number 2, it reads, O Lord, I have heard the report of you and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. In wrath, earnestly remember love, pity, and mercy. That's the Amplified. The King James said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. Hallelujah. So when we talk of revive your work or revive, what do we mean? What does it mean? The Greek word chaya actually means to live, to have life, to remain alive, to sustain, to live prosperously, to live forever, to be quickened, to be made alive, to be restored to life and health. Hallelujah. Now, number one. Life is the presence of the Spirit. Where the Spirit is absent, there is no life. So people don't die and then the Spirit leaves. People die because the Spirit leaves. In our 50-day push, which for 14 days already has run out, meaning that we have roughly 36 days remaining. Am I right about that? Am I right about the calculation or am I wrong? Meaning that we have 36 days remaining, we are pushing and going after the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a leader. Every leader must lead, so you follow. And you see, good leadership begets good following. If somebody is to lead you well, you have to follow closely enough. If you are sluggish in following, you delay the journey. So we want to run with every speed that is in us to follow the Spirit. And so I'm believing God that in these 36 days that is left, you will be revived. I'm trusting God that the definition of revival shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. May you be revived in every area of your life in Jesus' name. So there are ingredients of revival. The first one is that there has to be the presence of the Spirit. And we are trusting that the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a greater measure than you have experienced. The second ingredient of revival is prayer. Because you see, as breathing sustains the natural body, so also prayer sustains the spirit. So if a man wants to be revived, he got to be a praying man, or he got to be revived in his praying life. Trust me, I've been in this country long enough. I know you may be on fire like, the oven that they used to bake bread, where some of us came from. And when you come to Deutschland, just the way the country is cold, that's the way they suck your prayer life. So it doesn't take long, and then you begin to struggle. I remember when I came here the first time, I said, Lord, we are here. Our feet have touched this land. Deutschland, here we come. The unbelievers shall be saved. We are coming after them. After 20 years of ministry, look around you. I do not downgrade what God is doing. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, I expected that after 20 years of ministry, this place will be full, the whole place will be full. That is what I thought. I have consoled myself one way or the other, so I don't give up and I don't discourage in the fact that when it came to Noah, he preached 120 years of ministry. And me, I'm only 20 years and I'm complaining. Since 2002, this church was founded. That means you are roughly like 22 years. So I cannot be discouraged when this man preached for 120 years and he was only able to save his own family, 8 souls. Noah, he did what he could. Even his old children, he couldn't bring all of them. He lost grandchildren in that thing there. And I'm not trying to say because of that, don't strive, don't fight. Because you see, it is in fighting that we send signals to God that we actually believe in what we are doing. And you don't have an idea how far God can go to honor your faith. God had honored the faith of some people in a way they never expected. And God had done amazing things in the life of people. They look at themselves and they begin to weep, not because they are sad, but because they didn't think they were that important to God. That God will go out of his way to do that kind of thing. And so they are in the midst of blessing, but they feel so small because they know themselves well enough to know that Yahweh has been more than gracious. So I want to encourage you, my dear friends, when we are fighting, we fight until the last breath. We don't give up. We don't know how to do what? Give up. Number three, an ingredient when we want to be revived or walk in revival is that we must be aggressive in searching the word of God. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You search the word because you believe that in them you will have life. Now, if people are searching the word because they believe there is life in the word, you think they are doing it passively? No, they are doing it aggressively. The only reason they didn't come to the Lord is because they were blinded. But thank God you are not blinded because you are born again. So be aggressive in doing what? Searching the word. Know that the key to your tomorrow lies where? In the word. Then the fourth thing is, we also need wisdom to deploy the word that is made alive. Remember, the word we read is called the Logos. And you cannot act upon the Logos because the Logos is still, though it is the word of God, is still the letter. Remember what the Bible said about the letter? The letter does what? It kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, when we are talking of the Rhema, we are talking of you reading something in the word of God and you begin to meditate upon it, you begin to pray with it, and you get to the place where the Spirit actually speaks those words to your spirit. Once the Spirit speaks those same words, it becomes what? The spoken word, Rhema word. And it's full of life. You remember when Peter said, Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. Remember? Well, the word that Jesus spoke to him, it was described as Rhema. So the man walked upon Rhema, and that word was meant for him alone, not for the other people that were in the boat. When the Rhema comes, it profits you to whom the Rhema is spoken, or you that hear the word, you are the only one who profits. Hallelujah. Amen. On the road to Damascus, something happened, and the people who were journeying with Paul, everybody got terrified. They fell from their horses. Some of them ran to hide themselves. But God spoke. And guess what? Nobody heard God speaking. Only Saul, who later became Paul, heard. And so he that heard the word, how did the prophecy come? He was the only one who profited. So you see, when the Rhema word of God comes, your life changes. Your position shifts, your ranking changes. Something that you used to struggle with, it becomes something that is now a stepping stone by which you can move on to higher grounds. It's important to understand that we need wisdom to act upon the Rhema word. Hallelujah. And then finally, we also have to pray to believe God to restore and to revive. Why? Because God is the only one who has life. You can't give what you don't have. God has life, and so because of that, God can restore anything, anything. Hallelujah. The priests of the Old Testament, they were not supposed to touch dead bodies because those things belong to the powers to come, of the age to come. So those people, they never touch anybody that was dead, because if they did it, it defiled them. The point is that a thing can defile you when it imparts upon you negatively. But if you can impart upon that thing, it can defile you. So Jesus was known to touch corpses. Did he get defiled? No, because he was operating in the power of the age to come. So when he touched the corpses, he was not defiled. They revived. When he touched a person who was leprous, and the leprosy is supposed to defile a person, when he touched a leper, what happened? So he was not defiled. It is the leprosy that flew or went into remission. That's why we need to talk to God so that he will release the life that will revive us. See, we must understand that when God is talking about us, the church, he is talking about us as people who are wine. Hallelujah. And you know, according to Amos chapter 9, the verse number 13, the sweet wine, if you can beam it, fine. The sweet wine, where is it? Where does the sweet wine come from? The sweet wine comes from sweet grapes. You cannot have sweet wine from sour grapes. Are we talking here? The sweet wine always comes from, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with what? Sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Hallelujah. Do you know that when somebody comes to the church and he is encountered with sweet wine, he will stay? So you see, if somehow or the other, instead of increasing, we are losing, we need revival. Am I talking to somebody? You may think you don't need, but you need, because you just have to look around you and look at the effect of your life. And then you will know that this is not how God wanted you to be. When he created Adam, he said to be alone is not good. He added a woman. And then when he added a woman, he said, you know, two is even not good. So what? Be fruitful and do what? Multiply. And then replenish. You see, the word replenish is not sometimes well interpreted. Replenish is refill. If my glass is empty and you replenish it, you refill it. So the scripture says, well, fill the earth, but really it is replenished, because this earth was occupied before we came along. And for some reason, it became empty. It became what? The Bible put it this way. It became what? Void. Void means empty. But it became void because there was divine judgments. How can you think of a God who can create things and he will create a world and it will be full of darkness and full of water, and the water has broken its bounds and it's all over everywhere? How can God that creates all things well, how can he do things like that? That was because the age before the flood, there were people or there were entities living here. You couldn't call them human beings, because you see, we are of a kind, one of a kind. We are the kind that was made in the image and the likeness of God. Before we came along, God had never created a species like us. Hallelujah. That's why you are more than what you do. Don't allow yourself to be defined by your mistakes. Don't allow yourself to be defined by whatever is afflicting you. People get up and they are calling you that barren woman. You are not barren in God. Neither are you barren before God. That is only a present condition that can change at any moment. And you know what? If you invite the Lord of life into that situation, it changes. Hallelujah. So we are talking to God because he has the capacity to do this. According to, I think, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, if you can bring that one, you will notice then that when God ever plants a people, he calls them his garden. He calls them his vineyard. Here, we are the vineyard of the Lord. Okay, so Isaiah 5, the verse number 2 to 4. Isaiah 5:2. And he dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. Notice, choicest what? That means the best vine. You are more than what you think you are. Jesus will never die for a nobody. Jesus will not lay down his life for nobody that is going nowhere. You are loaded with destiny. That's why Jesus died for you. God is a good businessman. He does not invest in a business that is collapsing. Anytime you find that God is in your life, it means you are going somewhere. Please put some value on your life and be a bit more serious with your life, because your circumstances does not determine where you go. God has determined it before. He didn't consult the earth. He didn't consult any man. He never consulted your father. He didn't consult your mother. You are who you are because of God. So, he built a tower in his midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Continue. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. Verse 4. What more could I have done to build my vineyard that I have not done for it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes or sweet grapes, did it bring forth? It calls it wild, but then you find that sour grapes. Why did it bring forth sour grapes? Nobody wants to drink sour wine. Everybody wants sweet wine. So you see, when we come to church and we see that our effect on other people doesn't encourage them to stay around, we know we need revival. Because the grapes are not producing the kind of wine they are supposed to produce. Are you listening to me? When you minister in song to people and they are touched because the anointing of God touched them, that means that next time or next week, you know what? People can clap when you minister. But if they are not moved to come next week so that they can come and hear you minister, you know there's something wrong. Am I talking to somebody? So you know that you need revival. Hallelujah. If we can't get to the place where we know that we need God more than we need anything on this planet, we will keep on running in circles and will not achieve anything. But you and I, we need God. We need God even for our own lives. Do you know that? Do you know that we need God to save our children? You know the kind of things our children are going through? Do you think that if when we were kids, if we went through what our kids are going through now, do you think you'll still be a believer today sitting in the house of God? You think it's a small thing for people to target children that are in kindergarten and begin to talk to them that a man can be a man today and be a woman tomorrow? You think it's a small thing that in those days when we were growing up, blue films belonged to people who were rich, who could buy them because you couldn't even have them showed in the cinemas. But today, the things that are available on the internet to corrupt our children, you think it's a small thing? We need God. We need what? Revival. Hallelujah. Oh, may the Lord revive us. May the Lord revive us. May we be so revived that wherever we go, God is just happy for his spirit to be upon us. The Bible said, when Noah let the dove out of the ark, the dove went. It couldn't find any place to settle. It came back to where? The ark. When he left the dove out again the second time, he went. And when he came back, he had a green leaf that he has plucked in his mouth. Now the third time when he released the dove went and he never came again. You know what? Because he has found a resting place. When the Spirit of God finds a resting place in your life, you will be blessed. In other words, when you get to the place where you do not resist the Holy Ghost, you'll be blessed. When you get to the place where you don't grieve the Holy Ghost, you'll be blessed. You get to the place where you do not quench the Holy Ghost, you'll be blessed. When you get to that place where the Holy Spirit is never limited in any way, at that point, the quality of your hosting of the Holy Spirit has shifted. Now, the Spirit of God is not in you anymore as a guest. He's there as a boss. He's there as God. And you know what? When God is God in your life, anywhere you go, God will show up. It is not possible for God to show up anywhere and somebody will get up and look at God in the face and mock. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a reason why the Bible says that the demons, they know that God exists and they tremble. There is a reason. In our day, because we need revival, in case you don't know, people are blaspheming God because of us. Did you know the scripture said, the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of us? Do you know that? Do you know that when you are struggling and somebody who is not serving God at all is not struggling, do you know that it does not cause the God that you claim to serve, whereby you dress up and you are coming to church like this, it doesn't cause that God to appeal to the person? Do you know that? When we are working with all the kind of limitations that is being imposed upon us because of this world, listen, the Bible said, I say ye are what? Gods. And just in case you don't know that I have made you gods, you will die like ordinary men. Would you turn to somebody and tell him or her, you are not an ordinary man? You can never be an ordinary man. A child of God is not an ordinary man. God lives on the inside of you. The glory Adam lost is back and it's upon you. Oh, guard the glory. Protect the glory. Make room for the glory. Take away limitations that the glory may fill everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am really excited that God will give us a people that are hungry for God. Because I see that the world that we are living in, we are living among people who are so convinced in the devil's power, they are willing to do anything for the devil to have the upper hand. Do you know there are people who are sacrificing? Do you know that there are people who have got strange altars somewhere? And some of them are not even afraid to sacrifice human life. Do you know that there are people who think that sacrificing babies is a good thing? And they do all these things because they understand that the place of sacrifice, there is no substitute. When there is an altar which has no sacrifice, that altar is weak. The question I want to ask you is, how much sacrifice do you make to serve the God that you serve? Because if you do not make any sacrifice, your service to God is nothing. Hallelujah. Do you know why when God saves you and I from sin, he still allows us to remember some of the garlic and the onions of Egypt? So that we can actually remember how those garlic and those onions taste. Do you know why it is so? Because you see, a man cannot be tempted by what he doesn't like. And it is the overcoming of the temptation, or it is what you call the taking hold of yourself, to confine yourself, to cause yourself to conform. That is a sacrifice. And that is what elevates your altar. That is what brings you to the place where you are too much for the devil. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, God wants you to be too much for the devil. Say again, it is time for you to be too much. Too hot to handle. Too smart to be deceived. Too full to be made poor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us to Just one more thing, and I want us to pray. Let's not forget one thing, that God created time for you and I. And like I said before, time is God's tool for redemption. Without time, you can't redeem anything. So those of us who know we need revival, we need to ask God, who dwells where in eternity, to come into our life. Let God bring eternity into your timeline. Hallelujah. There is always a time when we began to get cold. There is always a time when we began to lose our first love. There is always a time when we started to look towards Sodom, to look at the world, where we began to fall in love with the world, where we began to fall in love with the things of the world. And you know what? When you invite God into your time, that particular point where you begin to divert your course, where you begin to follow another course, where you are leaving the narrow path and begin to follow another path, God will come to you at that point. If you invite God into your life today, he will change your tomorrow. But you can also invite God into your yesterday so that he can free you from the things you are seeing today. Are you listening to me? Our God is the God who created time. He's the master of time. God can pass in and out of time. God can go to the very beginning of time, and he can go to the very end of time. And therefore, nothing that happens in your life whilst you are here is not redeemable. Hallelujah. The only thing that cannot be redeemed is the thing you didn't submit. I want us to just make a prayer confession. I hope that you will be beaming that prayer right now. But would you say with me, Father God, you are welcome in all my times. I need revival. I pray in the name of Jesus, the King, that your kingdom will come into all my days and all my years, past, present, and future. Where things have been halted, I pray for accelerated time. Let what should take years to happen, let it happen in just a moment, so I can get into better places. Lord, let my learning and my understanding be as though I have a history, as you did with the first man, even with Adam. I pray that you would speed up and slow down my experience of time to benefit my experience with you. I pray that any place in my past where I have missed my calling and my purpose, you would visit me in that place and be king over my life. Work all things out for my good. I repent at any time I have run or hidden from you. And ask that you make your visible awesomeness manifest in that day and in that hour. I pray, King Jesus, that you would inhabit my future in glorious places. Invite and call me there, Lord. Lead and even change my steps in my now to cause me to meet you in my future. Your creation, Lord, is beautiful. Establish your throne in all my house, my family, all my life, all my time. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this sermon, kindly visit our YouTube channel at Rema Chapel TV. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram under Rema Chapel Bielefeld.